here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, as we see the plagues and the oncoming storms of judgment, as we see, Father, your hand in judgment coming upon this earth, we realize also, Father, that your love and your care for your children is here. So, Father, we pray that you'd be with us and help us, O God, to have a better understanding of what you are doing in this hour. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we'll continue in our study from Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And this will be number 217 in our study, and review number 40, twins number 15. And I'd like to entitle this morning, Crucify Self, or Crucify the Word of God Afresh. Because, as Brother Brown says, there's only two classes of people in this hour. There's either those who have the Holy Spirit, the mark of God, the seal of God, or those who have the mark of the beast because they turn down the mark of God. What we're looking at is being a slave to self or a love slave to Christ. So this morning we're going to continue studying this, and I would like to look at something this morning that God placed upon my heart last night. I was actually going to speak on a different attribute that shows the difference between the elect and non-elect of God. I actually had all my scriptures, all my quotations put together, and everything was really good, but the Lord really weighed something on my heart this morning. So I feel impressed to speak on a subject which is very, very strong and not for the faint at heart. As Jesus was the pattern of all sons, so we find that he crucified himself, he crucified his own will in order for the will of the Father to be preeminent in his own life. Therefore, he would not do anything until God showed him first what to do. Then when he saw what the Father did, he acted in accordance with the will of the Father. In John 5:19-20, we read, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And again in 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say, that you might be saved. Now Brother Brown told us that the elect will come to the place where they will not say anything except they have, thus saith the Lord, to say it. From the spoken words original seed, he said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until the Father or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great, great big hallelujah. Now, here is the secret. The word is in the bride, in the mind of Christ, to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves his purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. He's not talking about himself here. He's talking about plural, the bride. For it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his day all things when he was here. He did not complete all things when he was here, for it was not yet time. Now, that is a promise from God, brothers and sisters. He said they will not speak until they know that what they are speaking is what the Lord has already spoken. And then they will step into what God has already spoken. Then it becomes a germatized word and has to manifest itself. But we must never forget, thus saith the Lord, is what the Lord has already said thus. It is not your imagination. It is not your getting worked up in emotion or worked up in enthusiasm. It is taking what God has already spoken and then echoing it back to him when the circumstances are the same as they were when he first spoke it. Now, Brother Brown makes that clear in the next quotation. He said, from Going Beyond the Camp, he said, therefore, knowing that you are my responsibility and on my hands by the gospel, I've always wanted to keep you right in the pages of this Bible. In other words, I didn't come with other words. I didn't come with my own thinking. What I've come with is what God has already said, and I'm just saying what he said and the way he said it. And many times people come to me and say, Brother Branham, if you would just stop out here and say, thus saith the Lord to my little child that's sick, it'll be well. Go out there and just say it'll get well. That's all I want you to do. Now that is loyal and lovely. How I appreciate that. But you know, I can't do that until he first tells me to do it. That's the difference between understanding what a prophet is and trying to make that prophet himself God. I can pray for the child, do all that I can. But you see, what if I went out there under enthusiasm and I said that? See, if I said, thus saith the Lord, it really would be just say it, just thus saith my enthusiasm. See? And then it might happen and it might not happen. But then what if that same person is under enthusiasm and it didn't happen? Then that person might be in a case sometimes between life and death. Then where would their confidence be? They'd be afraid that I might be under enthusiasm again, see? So when I say it, I want to be dead earnest that it's right with all that I know. And then when he speaks to me, I can just say what he showed me, whether it's good or whether it's bad, I have to say it. And sometimes it's not pleasant to tell those things, but yet I'm just as duty-bound to tell the people the evil things that will befall them as I'm duty-bound to tell them the good things that will befall them. And after all, we want the will of the Lord. And sometimes the will of the Lord is contrary to our desires. But still, if we want the will of the Lord, it's just as precious to know that the evil will befall us if it is the will of the Lord. Whether it be good or evil, it's the will of the Lord that we want done. And I know that we look at it in that manner. Brothers and sisters, you can never get to that position where he's talking about here until you have completely died out to your own will first. And just as we showed you last week that this is the hour that all people who live on the face of the earth will either receive the mark of the beast or the mark of God, the mark of the beast or the mark of or the seal of God, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or they will reject the baptism of the Holy Ghost and receive the mark of the beast. And there's no getting around that. We proved it last week by Scripture. Now, this morning, I want to impress upon every one of us that everyone in this world is going to do. They're either going to take the mark of God or they're going to take the mark of the beast. Everyone living on this planet in this hour will either crucify themselves in order to receive the will of God, or they will crucify themselves to themselves, the Son of God afresh, the manifested word afresh, and put him to an open shame. So you're either going to crucify your flesh, or actually, you're going to crucify the word of God afresh to yourself. In other words, you're going to crucify your soul, or you're going to crucify your flesh. Take your pick. Because that's the only pick you have to take. Crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, or crucify the soul. Crucify the effects of the word of God upon your soul. Now, Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8:38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now look, these Pharisees, religious as they were living under a delusion. They thought God was their father. How did Jesus know that they weren't God's children? by their works. By their works. He said, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. Then if God is your father, you would do the works of God. It's just that simple. Every seed after its kind. And therefore, if they are the seed of God, they must do the works of God. It is just that simple. Eagles fly because eagles are eagles. Little eagles learn to fly because they're an eagle. Chickens run around penned up in a roost because they're chickens. Therefore, every seed must bring forth or manifest according to the seed life that's in them. And those who are believers, Brother Branham taught us, are those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they are the only ones who will do the works of Christ because they have the same Spirit in them that was doing the works in Jesus himself. And Jesus said to the Pharisees in verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. In other words, what you're doing, I can see. Look, if I go out and I see a beautiful flower that's curled up like this and it's red and it's got really soft petals and smells beautiful. It's got thorns and stickers on thorns and prickers on the stem. I would call that a rose. Right? Because I'm looking at the attributes of the life. Well, when Jesus is saying to the Pharisees here, you claim that God is your father, you claim Abraham to be your father, but you're not expressing the manifested life of Abraham. You're not expressing the manifested life of God. God sent me, and you reject it. You hate it. And yet I'm doing only what he tells me to do. In other words, Jesus is quoting them Genesis 1:11, every seed after his kind. And notice their response. Instead of saying, you know, you might have a point there, Jesus. I guess we haven't been behaving like we should. The scripture does tell us that every seed will bring forth after its nature and its source, and we're trying to kill you in your influence, and God's seed wouldn't do that. It wouldn't operate that way. So would you pray to God for us? They didn't do that. But no, they began to justify themselves just like Cain justified himself. When God said, Cain, after Cain killed his brother, where is your brother Abel? And Cain said, how should I know? Am I my brother's keeper? Not only did he lie, but he went into a justification mode for himself. Now, brother, sister, we are not justified by ourselves and by what we can say. We're justified by the word of God. Then said they unto him, we're not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We have one Father, even God. And notice what Jesus says to them. He says, how can you say that you're sons of God when you seek to kill this Son of God? How can you claim God is your Father when he sent me and you wish to kill me? That doesn't add up. You are displaying attributes that manifest what seed life nature is in you. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded and came forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he's speaking of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? In other words, which of you can point your finger at my life and show any manifestation of unbelief? You can't do it. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and thou hast a devil? And Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judges. Now, in order to come to the place where you will only do what the Father shows you to do, despite all the criticism, despite all the flack, In order to come to this place and completely surrender your will to the will of the Father, you must first of all be willing to die to your own self. You must be willing to crucify your own self, your life, your own life, that the life of the Father, God, might reflect in you and from you. Now, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am living. Yet not I, but Christ is living in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I am living by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, listen closely, because what I'm going to tell you is something that I don't want you to ever, ever forget. Never, ever forget it. For your own destiny will depend on what I'm about to tell you. So are you ready? This is the hour that you will either crucify yourself afresh every day, or you will crucify to yourself the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Take your pick. I'm going to say it again. I've got it in red because those are the words of Christ. I've got it in blue because those are the words of a prophet in this hour. This is the hour that you will either crucify yourself afresh every single day, or you will crucify to yourself the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Take your pick. Now you might say, oh, I love the Lord too much. I would never crucify the Son of God afresh. I would never crucify the Word of God afresh. Well, from Christ as the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham said, there, see, there's the gospel. See, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say, go teach. He said, go preach. In other words, demonstrate the power and the signs shall follow them. Just teaching doesn't do it. It takes the actual Spirit itself demonstrating these signs. Now listen to this. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Now, let me just say this. Why do you think that we have had so much success teaching the doctrine overseas when the Bible doesn't say go forth and teach? It says go forth and preach. Because we didn't just go and hold lectures. We went depending on the power and the presence of God to make himself visible to the people. And yet we have people who say they believe in the presence of God, that he's here, and even quote the prophet of God telling us the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. And yet when God visibly manifests himself in such a supernatural way, those men who claim to be teaching that the pillar of fire is here deny it because it didn't happen in their circle. They deny the very visible manifestation of God among us, letting us know he's still here leading. Now either he's here or he's not. If he's not here, then you have no choice. You have no chances with Ebola. It's here in this country, and it's going to spread. It has been to this date spreading, doubling every 21 days, and I think that's actually a short number because you take 4,000 people, and just last week alone, it multiplied by 500 deaths. I'm talking about deaths. I'm not talking about people getting it. I'm talking about deaths, 4,000 deaths so far in just 2 or 3 months. Brother Bram said that is crucifying the Word of God afresh and putting him to an open shame because it crucifies the effects of the Word upon the people. When they crucify to themselves, they're not crucifying him to me. I'm crucifying myself that he might live in me. But when they crucify the Word of God afresh or the Son of God afresh, they're crucifying him to themselves that it might have no effect upon them. You're the only one hurting yourself. From the indictment, Brother Brown said, they crucified. And you say, well, how did they crucify the Word? When Jesus said that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13 and 8, they say, in such a way he is. In other words, they try to limit the way that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See? All right? And if Jesus said his last commandment to the church, go ye into all the world, Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, these signs shall follow them that believe. And all the world, every creature, if it ain't half reached yet, and there's millions die every year that haven't even heard the name of Jesus. So it's still the general order. It's still the commandment of God all over the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or drink deadly things, it shall not harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. And they say that was for that generation. And they make the commandment of God of none effect to this, and they crucify the effect of the Word to the people. Amen. I am eyewitness to the power of God overseas. And I've seen it even in this church when we're down in Kentucky, mostly. I've seen a man whose foot was sawed off at the bottom of the foot was sawed off. God grew that foot back. I've seen the power of God change weather. I've seen the power of God take a person after we prayed for a child. And I didn't even know this until about 7-8 years later. A couple came to me in Uganda in 2002. They couldn't have children. They tried and tried. They'd been married for, I think, 4 years. They tried. They couldn't have children. The brother just wrote to me last year and said they now have 4 children after we prayed. That's the power of God, brother, sister. When you recognize this earth is just a little smidgen in the galaxy. We have 100 billion galaxies in the universe. I mean, it's just out there. 100 billion galaxies, and there's 100 billion stars in this galaxy. And this planet, or this star that we have called the sun, is just very, very small and insignificant. I mean, the one that's called Betelgeuse, kind of an odd name for a planet or for a sun, it's 60 times greater than our sun. And there's a star out there that's 1,500 times greater than our sun. And did you know that there's so much power coming from the sun every day? And you know, there's 100 lightning bolts every minute taking place. And the energy in a lightning bolt could light up a city. You're talking about the power. You're talking about these. They say there's enough power in a grain of salt to light your home for several months, to give power to your home for several months. You know, E equals MC squared. Mass, you know, I don't know all that stuff, but the fact is that we're living on a fossil fuel when there's technology out there. There's God technology. I mean, when a man can travel like a thought, like Philip did, be transported, we don't need what we've got. And people think, oh, science is a great thing. Science has only brought death, as Brother Branham said. We have a God that spoke by his own word hundreds of billions of hundreds of billions of stars. And Moses, when he was talking about God created the sun and the moon, he said, oh, by the way, he also created the stars by speaking the word. And we can't even have faith for healing when we have a God who created everything. And you know what the greater thing about it is? The great thing about it is, if you're born again, you have his life living in you. And Brother Brown said, you have enough God in you to create worlds, plural, and to go live on them. Well, I'd just about like to do that pretty soon. If we could only understand, brother, sister, we are heading to a tent one of these days soon. That's just going to be like it's going to be like a portal. We're going to go into that place. We're going to come out different. We're going to come out on the other side, another dimension. All this fussing and burning that's going to happen. Listen, this earth is headed for destruction. It's headed for burning. But unless you let the Holy Spirit of God, the holy fire of God, which came down, unless you let him burn out your soul, if you don't let him burn out your soul, you have a choice. Let him burn out my soul or let him burn out my flesh. Because everything here is going to burn. I choose to let him burn out my soul, cleanse my soul. He's a holy spirit. We don't emphasize that enough. We should. Brother Branham, almost every service, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Fools will walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trot. So he said they crucify the effect of the word to the people. Amen. Brother Brown continued in Christ's mystery God revealed. He said, oh my, see, to change the man. Not what I can explain away and say he's not the same when he is the same. And if I do that, it shows to me, surely a man that tells me that would be showing me that he don't have the revelation, the threefold revelation of God. What is the threefold revelation of God? God manifested through his son, his firstborn. Then God manifested through you and me. And then what's the third? Back in fellowship like it was meant to be in the beginning. Hallelujah. walking hand in hand. When you realize that all the power, there is more power generated from the sun upon the earth than there is any other form of power. Just think, all the evaporation that takes place on a daily basis. And did you know the average storm cloud, when it pours out rain, pours out several million gallons of water? Several million gallons. Where'd it come from? Quietly, unobtrusively, the power of the sun raises it up. God allows it to cool, and it comes back down in a solid form again. We're going to be raised up and then placed back down on the New Jerusalem in a solid form again. Hallelujah. The sun produces so much power. And yet this earth only receives something like 1/96,000 of that power. Because look at the angles that's going out, and it's just hitting us in just a little one shot. Remember, you shoot if you're just off 1 inch up here, how far are you going to be off the target, depending on how far away the target is? We've got a God that we don't really fathom. And the great thing about it is not only is he our God, the creator of all things, but he's our Father. He's our Father. You think he's going to let you fall to the ground and not have his angels to bear thee up? Brother Brown said, he said, and how be it in weakness among you, he's quoting Paul, among you that are perfect, yet we're not with the wisdom of the world, but of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See the threefold mystery of God. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, our values, our opinions, which none of the princes of this world knew, none of the priests, none of the rabbis or anything knew anything about it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, you say you're wrong about rabbis and preachers there. Well, then who crucified him? Oh, on and on and on we could go. Read it, see, save time. Because we just got, not getting late yet, but we just got plenty here to say if the Lord will help us. So, notice then it was the preachers back then that crucified the word, that made manifest, and the people, because the Bible says like priests, like people. The same thing today. And you will either crucify your own self and your own thoughts, or you will end up crucifying your own soul by crucifying the word afresh. And in doing so, you will put God's word and thus God himself to an open shame. Because when the word has power enough to create universes, and you can't even get over smoking a cigarette or drinking alcohol or fornicating and stupid little stuff like that, take your pick this morning, brothers and sisters. Either accept the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the fire that will cleanse you, your very soul, or turn it down and accept the mark of the beast, which will burn your own flesh you wish to save from burning. Because everyone in this world is going, in this hour, is going to take either one of those two marks. You will either take the mark of the beast, or you will take the mark of God. And the way you take the mark of the beast is to turn down the mark of God. From all the days of our life, Brother Branham said a beautiful quote here. The Bible said he would do it, have the form of godliness, and then deny the power thereof. So you see, you're a slave one way or the other. But we who are bond slaves to Jesus Christ, we are slaves of joy. I'm so glad that I got shackles on me that shackles me away from the things of the world so that I could become a slave to Jesus Christ to serve him in love. And you, my brethren and sisters, who are like precious faith, who's been born of the Holy Ghost, that had the blood of Jesus Christ to sanctify and cleanse you from all the filth of the world that die daily to the flesh, crucify it putting it away and becoming a slave to your own body to serve God, we look for a city to come. Blessed be the Lord. And from his sermon, the same sermon, the next paragraph 30, he says, the Holy Spirit speaking in the scriptures tonight, so that we might serve him all the days of our life in holiness before him. That's the cleanliness, holiness. But today you can mention the word holy and people will laugh at it. See how Satan's got it all wrapped up, but you are a slave. And if you're a Christian, you're a slave. You're a bond slave of the Lord Jesus. If there's two people of you, both spirit and body, and if you cater to the flesh, you're a slave of the devil, and you'll crucify the soul that's in you. Well, what about people that stay home in church? Stay home from church on Wednesday nights, like Brother Brown said, to watch I Love Lucy. Or on, especially in this hour, they stay home Sundays to watch the NFL or race car driving or whatever it is, some silly nonsense. What are they doing? They're crucifying the effects of the word in themselves. He said, if you cater to the flesh, you're a slave of the devil and you'll crucify the soul that's in you. For the Bible said, the soul that sinneth, that soul shall die. And you have to crucify the flesh in order to have a bond slave in your flesh to be a servant of Jesus Christ. So you're a slave any way you take it. And you can't get away from it. Now listen, if you're a slave any way you look at it, who'd you rather be a slave of? Some guy that's not looking out for your good? Or some person who really loves you and will take care of you? So you're a slave. You're marked. And the Bible said in the last days there would be two marks, and every person on the earth would have one or the other. You just can't get out of it. One's the mark of the beast, the other one is the seal of God, and the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. God's provided a way for his church. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed with unto the day of your redemption. And to reject the Holy Spirit is to take on the mark of the beast. All that didn't have the mark of God had the mark of the devil. So you're marked. You're either marked a bond slave in the love of God, or you're marked a slave to the things of the world, of the devil. That's hard, but we are slaves and we want to serve him all the days of our life. A slave is a servant. In order to be a servant of Jesus Christ, you have to be a slave to yourself, to crucify yourself. Oh God, let that sink in. Crucify yourself and your flesh and your desires that God might take hold in your heart to move you and to motivate you. That's the slave of Christ, the bond slave called Paul called it. He said he was a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, a slave, a bond slave in the service of the Lord Jesus, going about daily, crucifying the flesh to be a slave for Jesus Christ, rejoicing because he was a slave. And that's it. So you'll either learn to die to self and crucify your own flesh and the lust thereof, or you will crucify the word of God afresh and bring it to an open shame in your life. I've seen plenty of people in this message. You know, if the people had been solid, all the people that have ever come through these doors and considered this at one time or other their home church, we would have over 250 people in this church today, maybe 300. There's that many people in the greater Cincinnati area that claim to believe the message, but will not subject themselves to the leadership of the Holy Ghost through men, through a fivefold ministry. Now, from the indictment, Brother Brown said, they call for revival everywhere. How are you going to have a revival when the word itself can't work through the people? I'd like for somebody to answer that for me. How can it do it when you deny the very revival itself? Well, did the prophet speak of them forms of godliness, their own forms back there denied the word of life. Their own forms today deny the thing that can bring them the revival. Their creeds and forms, yes, sir, they take the denomination and their creeds instead of the word, and they crucify his word and make his word of no effect to the people. Like they say, John 14:12 is just for one person. That's crucifying the word of God afresh, putting him to an open shame. When they see the word of God so vividly in, it just placed itself, that God made the promise that he would do this, and here he is doing it. And they make fun of it, and they get away from it. It's blasphemy. And they try to crucify the word itself. Why do they crucify it? Because they can't crucify the word no more than they can crucify God. They couldn't crucify the body, but they could crucify the body that held God, the Son of God. They could crucify that, but they can't crucify God. He had to be that time. on account of being the sacrifice to bring in many sons. That's predestined to eternal life. They had to do it then, but they can't do it now. They can't do it, for the word itself will live on. In other words, they cannot crucify the word of God to me. They can't crucify him to you. So what are they going to do? They're going to try to crucify you. That's what. If you are a light bearer, if you are a reflector, that's who they're going to crucify. When they couldn't deal with Jesus, they saw the miracles. They saw no man can do these things except God be with them. That's what Nicodemus told him. He said, that's what they're all saying. They didn't know how to deal with his doctrine. So what do? They attacked the man. They attacked the vessel that reflected the doctrine. Now, just as you have a choice to receive the mark of God, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost with fire, or you may reject it and take the mark of the beast, thus you will either choose to crucify yourself afresh, in your flesh, and the lust thereof, or you will end up crucifying the word of God afresh. And thus we see also in the book of Malachi that this is the hour for the great burning. This is the hour that the pillar of fire has come down to burn in the souls of man, to cleanse it and make it clean and ready for the new earth. But to reject the holy fire of God, to burn out all the sin and unbelief out of your souls, leaves you with only one thing, and that is for the holy fire of God to burn up your flesh when the earth itself burns with fire. So you can choose to avoid the holy fire upon your soul, but that leaves you only with the great burning of the heavens and the earth and your flesh with it. I want you children to listen, because you should be more sincere. You should be more provoked in your soul to seek God. Because if you're not caught away in the rapture, you will be here for the great burning. You will be here for all the plagues. You will be here for the destruction. That is thus saith the scripture. Malachi 4 in verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, all the proud, and that's you children, and that's you adults. Proud. Well, it's not for me. It's for somebody else. Why do you think people would rather listen to a tape than come and attend a service? Because a tape don't have eyes to look right into them. That's what it's about. I'm not talking about any particular person. There's more people listening to tapes than there are probably in church services. It's easy for us to say, I'll put on a tape because Brother Bram's talking about those denominations back there. No, he's talking about you. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Anybody ever been scorched by the oven? Burn your finger? Just think about it, not just your finger, but your whole body. And all the proud, that's those who would not become willingly a bond slave to Christ, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root, nothing to grow back, nor branch. That is what is coming upon this earth, and there are only two ways to get ready for it. One way is to turn down the pillar of fire that has come to cleanse your soul by the holy fire of God upon his word in your heart. Or two, turn down the cleansing in your soul and get ready for the body to be incinerated by the heat of atomic fire. In other words, number one, maybe I've got it written down here a little bit, funny. You can let the holy fire of God cleanse you now in your soul, and it'll take your body out of here into another dimension where there is no burning. Or you can remain in this dimension and face the burning. Notice you'll be taken up and out of here for that burning, and you will one day come back and walk upon the ashes of all of those that were here for the great burning. And remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all of Israel with the statutes and judgments. And what was that all about? Remember back in the Old Testament when Moses went up into the presence of God? The whole mountain was on fire, and any beast or person that even touched the mountain died. But today we are commanded to walk into the holy fire of God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. Back then, to enter into that holy presence meant death. But today, to not enter into that holy cleansing fire means death by fire. Cleansed by fire or cleansed by fire? Death by fire. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. And Brother Brown said, our Elijah is the Lord Jesus Christ. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. The great day was when Jesus came the first time. The dreadful day is this hour. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, that was John, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. Well, I have news for you this morning. The earth is being smitten even now with the curses of Deuteronomy 28. When Brother Brandt threw that stone up in the air in 1963, and the whirlwind started, and took off parts of the mountain there in Tucson and went headed up the west coast. 2 days later, a great earthquake almost sunk Alaska. And he said, the judgments of God are now in the earth. We are the generation that's been living through the judgments of God. But they're coming on in manifestation. When it's in the seed form, you don't see it too much. But wait till that great plant grows. And it has grown. And we're seeing it today. I remember back when I first heard about Ebola back in 95, 96, 97. Preached a whole series on the great oncoming plagues. Talked about it. Even those of you that are familiar with Dr. Robert Beck, he mentioned it back. I think the tape was made in 88. He said the governments have worked on Marburg. They've developed it into a disease that is airborne. These things are here. Brother Branham called it germ warfare. He said they're preparing this stuff for the great blast, the great destruction. And he says that if your heart is not changed back to the hearts of the fathers, well, you'll be smitten along with the earth with a curse. The earth is being smitten even now with the curses of Deuteronomy 28. And if you have not hearkened to the voice of the Lord, you will be consumed in the plagues. And the only way to cleanse those plagues is with fire. How many remember how many did well in history? Anybody? I was a history major, so I loved it. You know how they treated the plagues that came through Europe, that ravished Europe? A third of the population of Europe was destroyed by the bubonic plague at one time. Another time, a half of the population was destroyed. A fourth of the population in Martin Luther's day was destroyed by tuberculosis. You know how they treated the patients? They burned them. It's the only way to get rid of that disease, of those things. Burn it. And God is going to cleanse the earth by burning it. Every sin, every unbelief, every disease, every germ is going to be burned totally. And certainly one of the plagues is the fire that which shall consume the entire earth as we know it. But praise God, he sent Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, to introduce to us the holy fire of God that sanctifies and makes us pure. Therefore, you will either receive the baptism of fire by the Holy Ghost and fire upon your soul, or you will receive the baptism of fire in your flesh. Take your pick. We know in the book of Isaiah, chapter 2 and chapter 24, it speaks of how the earth will end up in the last days, totally laid to waste and burnt over to purify it and cleanse it and make it ready for the millennium reign of Christ and his bride. Let me just... We don't have time this morning to go into all the details of Isaiah 2 and Isaiah 24, what's coming upon the earth and finally burning it over. But let's just take a look at Isaiah 29. Brother Branham quotes the book of Revelation about the new Jerusalem coming down. And he says in his sermon, Future Home, before we get to Isaiah 29. He says, John said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And where did it settle on? just exactly like it did on there upon the earth. Jesus was part of the earth that the Holy Ghost descended upon, is that right? And remained upon him forever. Remember, how did he come? Like a dove. Right? It never can leave him. It's always there. He and God are one. Always has to remain. And so John saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending like a comet. Or a dove. A dove to the Son of God, a dove to you and I, or a comet to this earth. Coming down out of heaven and settling upon and redeemed and to upon a redeemed entire earth. To do what? To claim every attribute that he made for the earth for. Every man that was represented in the eternity and every woman is redeemed then. She's been scoured and burned by fire. Jesus, in his fiery temptation in the wilderness, 40 days, after that notice, it was ready for his ministry then. Think of it, the Holy Ghost descending upon earth, Jesus and the Holy Blood. Now watch, I hope I don't go too deep for you, see? So we read in Isaiah 29, Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquakes and great noise and with storm and tempest and the flames of devouring fire. And so we see what the Apostle Paul spoke of, the Apostle Peter spoke of. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, he said, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. And Brother Branham tells us that's the H2O exploding in the seas. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What works are you talking about? Now, this is good news for you, all the politicians, all the governments, all the corrupt economic systems, all the corrupt religious systems, all the corrupt educational systems. Brother Van also told us in Future Home, he said, listen, let's just read it. Look, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, We'll eat our own bread. We'll wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And that's the end that we're living in now. Marriage, divorce, and prostitution, whatever more. And in that day shall the branch of the Lord be glorious, be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely. Them that have escaped of Israel, how that you escaped all that damnation, see? And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that's a remnant in Jerusalem shall, now let's see, in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem, see? Wherein the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. And remember, that's always the bride. So when you read the word Zion in Scripture, it's not talking about a bunch of Zionists like they have today. It's talking about the bride of Christ. And shall have purified the blood of Jerusalem, that's a remnant of the Jews, plus the bride. See, and in the midst thereof with the spirit of judgment, fire, that's always God's judgment, when he makes his final judgment, calls you, justifies you, and brings you to redemption, then his judgment breaks forth upon you, and the Holy Ghost and fire cleanses away the sin. Then you're his. Same thing he does to the earth when he purges it with fire and by the spirit of burning. Now, look, listen. Are you ready? And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assembly a cloud of smoke by day and a shining of fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Now, listen. Science is saying the earth and all the galaxy and the whole universe is continually unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. Is that right? You're familiar with that? They're saying it's continuously expanding. What about that day coming when God folds it back up? It's in the scripture. He says, all the light, all the stars, all the universe shall fold up like a scroll. There will be no more sun. But the light of the glorious presence of God, that pillar of fire, will be the light of the earth. There is more power in that little smidgen of light than there is in all the stars in the universe. Because that light is life. Hallelujah. Again, he said in future hope. Now, the world to be redeemed for this redeemed person, he uses the same method. So God is going to use the same method to purge the earth, cleanse it by fire, the same fire he wants to cleanse your soul with. He uses the same method. He baptized it. He's speaking of the world here. He baptized it in water after the antediluvian destruction, shed his blood upon it to sanctify it and claim it. It's his. Satan tried to say, I'll give it to you. He said, no, sir, I'll buy it. Let it be a witness. He was lifted up for an ensign that he bought it. He purchased it. But now it has to go through a baptism of fire, holy fire from God, which cleanses the earth and the heavens around it. Then it's purchased so that the redeemed can live on it, live in it in peace. No more war departments. No more, what they call those things that Eisenhower warned us against, the industrial, military-industrial complex, no more. No more greed of men, no more death and destruction. Peace. From future home, he said, notice the baptism of fire is to cleanse it from fire, from sickness, from disease, germs, from sinners, from the devil and all of his group. He's to cast out into the lake of fire. Holy fire from God comes down from heaven, from God out of heaven and burns it up. Notice, to make it ready for God to dwell in. For God in the new world that is to come is to dwell in the earth. Because you say God, he dwells in the human heart. But he and his bride becomes one and they go to their home in the new world. And the same plan of redemption is used to redeem both world and the persons that live in it. So what's coming on this earth should be happening to you right now. The holy fire of God. Future home. That's how he... Listen, if you're not listening to those tapes, I'll tell you one thing. I can tell when people listen to the tapes of Brother Branham and when they don't. Because when they really listen to them, their life straightens up. They live a holy life. They reflect a holy spirit. They reflect a holy God. Because without holiness, no man shall even see the Lord. That's scripture. So these churches where it's all just a big social thing, where people come together and the women, you know, wear immodest clothes and all this stuff going on, the brothers tell immodest jokes and everything else, they don't even see the one who's here. If you truly knew his presence, saw his presence, you wouldn't live in filth and squalor. You realize you're a son of God. You'd hold your head up. You realize all things are working together for my good. He's come to get to pack me home. And before one judgment comes close, he said there'll be 10,000 go down at your right, 1,000 at your right, and 10,000 at your left, but it won't come near you. Why? You're his. You're his seed. You're his children. From future home, that's how he bought us by his blood. How he bought the church and now its baptism of fire cleanses from all germs, all disease, all sickness, even all the spiritual things which is by us too. It does the same to make it ready for God to dwell in this great age that's to come, the new earth. See, he redeems it in the same way he does his people. He makes it all just the same, his plan of redemption, for he is the unchangeable God, always the same in his plan. Now notice here some of the Bible students, some of you Bible students, especially Brother Vail, Dr. Vail looking at me. Now notice in Peter, in the second Peter, third chapter, rather, he uses the word world as a Greek word, cosmos, which means the world order. The earth passes away. It melts the elements with fervent heat. See, doesn't mean that the earth, the planet, that's going to pass away, but the world, the cosmos, the politicians or the politics, the sinners, the systems, sin, disease, germ, everything that's wrong will pass away. Everything that once God once shook the heaven, but this time he said he will shake the earth, heavens and earth. He shook the earth rather than this time he will shake the heavens. See, for we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved, the eternal kingdom. Watch how he goes to it. And if the Holy Ghost isn't shaking you right now, I'm talking about you teenagers that don't have the Holy Ghost. If he's not shaking you right now, you're going to be here for a great shaking. And then you're going to say, what can I do to get right? It's too late. It'll be too late. You repent now. You get on your knees now and you ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit before it's too late. Brothers and sisters, there's no way that you can physically ready yourself for that time coming. I don't care if you got $1 billion, it ain't going to do you one lick of good. It's all going to burn up. The only way you can avoid the burning to come is to allow the Holy Spirit to come into your soul and burn all sin and unbelief out of your soul and make you fit, a fit tabernacle for the presence of God's own life in you. That's it. Notice here, Peter said, and will melt with fervent heat, and the works therein burn up. Not the planet, the works therein, the works of man. All their politicians, hallelujah. That's going to be a glorious day. And their schemes, and all their denominations and man-made schemes will go with it when it burns. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that day. And heavens will pass away with great noise. Did you notice here? Heavens will pass away with a great noise. Listen, the whole earth will be on fire and will ignite the gases that's in the earth and explode it. It's exactly. Why do you think methane gas is coming up out of the lakes, out of the rivers? Why do you think this fracking? What do you think that is? Man is falling into the perfect will of God, preparing the methane for the destruction of the whole atmosphere. The Bible said here in Peter said, the heavens will pass away and the earth with great noise. Such an explosion will rock it, oh my, because it's got to kill every disease, every thistle, every thorn, everything there is to be done. The fire will burn it up. And remember, it's not altogether just a literal fire. It's also a holy fire. See? That will take away Satan and all of the devils, both heaven and earth, amen, will pass away, killing all the germs, all the insects, all natural life on it and around it, even the H2O, the water will explode. Think of it. Talk about a noise. You think that, that little noise out there, out here in Tucson was something when he opened the sixth seal that shook the country round about and caused it, all that talk? Wait till this earth receives her baptism. You know, when a man receives a baptism of fire, there's a lot of noise around there. They think that's a shame to hear people scream and shout like that. Just wait till this earth gets her baptism. Yeah, it'll explode. The H2O, the water. For the Bible said in Revelation 21, and there was no more sea. Well, where'd it go? It went back to the gases. All the outside, the crust, and for hundreds of feet below it, it's just simply by completely demolished. The atmospheres, the gases that's in the earth now, where they're finding their missiles that they can't get through, a great sphere up there, way up in some kind of a sphere that there's all kinds of gases, they say, and that'll burst. The holy wrath of God will come upon it and will cleanse it and will change the entire surface. Many of you that want to put this down, this word, the Greek word is to pass away. It says, you know, the Bible says, and the earth shall pass away. Now, he said, I thought, now, how's this world going to pass away? And yet we're going to live on it. But if you'll notice, some of you people that want to put it down, I'll spell it for you. I couldn't pronounce it. P-A-R-E-R-E-C-H-O-M-I-A. I think it's Parerekomaia. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't either. Now, that way, as I said, when I get the inspiration strikes me for something, then I go back to find out the word. Now, here, I can't pronounce it, but in that the Lord has still given me a way, I go and find out that what the word means. Then I got it, see? Then I got it again. See, heavens and earth will pass away. Now, this word means passing from one form to another. Now listen, that's the earth he's talking about, right? It does not mean annihilation as the English word would mean, pass away. It's annihilated. But the Hebrew word or the Greek word here does not mean pass away, it means from passing from one thing to another. Now look, but to pass from one condition to say to another. Now, Paul also used the same word. If you want to read it, put it down. You can read it, Titus 3 and 5. Paul is using the same word, means regeneration of men. That men is passed from a sinner to a saint. What did it? The holy fire of God. What's going to do to the earth? The same holy fire of God. Hallelujah. Changes the condition. Passes. It regenerates. Changed. When you're changed. He used the same word. He uses the same word when he said to the colt, loose the colt and let him go. Said the same thing at the resurrection of Lazarus. Loose him. Change him. He's been tied up. Let him go. What does it mean? The earth will be loosed from the grip of Satan. It'll be loosed. It'll be loosed from politics. It'll be loosed from denominational religious systems to be used for the kingdom of God to be established here in the earth. But as long as it's in the hands of Satan, politics, Satan, the ruler of the earth, he owns it. It belongs to him, but now Christ has redeemed it. Not annihilate it, but just take your hands off of it. To loose it, to let it go, to pass it away. It changes. The earth will change. Politics will change. The religions will change. The denominations will pass away. Politics will pass away. The kingdom of God shall be established. Hallelujah. And we read in Revelation 6 and 14, see, it departed as a scroll. The Bible said that. John said, I saw the heavens and earth depart as a scroll. John, Revelation 6:14, Jesus said, heavens and earth shall pass away. In other words, heavens and earth shall be changed. Using the same word right here now, again, no, not annihilated, for later in Revelation 2-24, he's seeing the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven and sitting upon the earth. It doesn't mean that it'll be annihilated. The systems will be changed. Why do you think in 71? Brother Branham said, I predict by 1977 that the world systems that we know, he said, will go away. People said, oh, Brother Branham's saying that the world will go away. No, he didn't say that. He said the systems. And we saw in 1971, Nixon took us off the gold standard. That's the only system, economic system, this world knew. And it's all unraveling. And it's going into hyperinflation. One of these days, you're going to see the dollar ain't worth diddly squat. Brother Branham said you could paper your walls with it. It means nothing. In Germany, in the Weimar Republic, they used it to burn, to heat themselves with. Barrels and barrels of it. They printed so much paper. I've been to Zimbabwe. $500 billion note. Oh, I was a rich man. Couldn't buy me 3 eggs. $500 billion note. And I got a stack of those things for just pennies. U.S. pennies. What's going to happen when the U.S. dollar is worth the Zimbabwe dollar? Oh, I put all your trust in your jobs. You put all your trust in the money system. I'd be putting my trust in God. Daniel saw the same thing. A rock struck the world. And it was hewn out with hands. And the whole image of this system was broke down and become like a chaff on the summer threshing floor. And the wind packed it away. And the rock itself grew into a great mountain that covered the earth. Watch that mountain now. In a little bit, that mountain covered the earth also. And we find out over here, and also in Revelation there, it said, the kings of the new earth will bring their honor and glory into it. And the earth is sitting, the new Jerusalem is sitting on this earth. See, it's just changed. In the book of Revelation, he said he saw this great mountain come down on fire, like Billy Paul's dream, the mountain coming on fire. I read an article the other day. They showed a list all over the world. I think it's been like 21 different major meteor hits on the earth that they didn't even know were coming. Look at the big one that happened in Russia. They said it was something like 8 times... The Hiroshima bomb, when it exploded in the sky and for hundreds of miles, windows were shattered and everything else. And the Russian scientists said, we didn't even know it was coming. What about when the Bible says that the hailstones will be 100 talents or 100 pounds, hailstones? That's a meteor shower, brother, sister. There are things coming on this earth to destroy it, to cleanse it, to burn it up. We don't want to be around when those things happen. We're getting a glimmer of it now, but it's around the corner. One of these days, people are going to wake up and realize they missed the rapture because their soul wasn't cleansed. How can you go into the presence of God in a sinful condition? And brothers and sisters, that mountain is on its way. I know it is because the Bible says so. And that is the word of God himself. He thought it, he spoke it, and the manifestation of it is on its way, and the people will not be ready for it. Well, there's no way you can get ready for that. But it's coming. And when it does come, those that are in Christ will be out of here. But that's the way that they've always missed what God is doing. They've always looked back at what he already did, always looked forward to what he's going to do, and they fail to recognize what he's doing right now. And what he's doing, present tense, is his holy fire. That pillar of fire is in our midst. God showed it over there in Africa. The pillar of fire is still on the scene. He's still cleansing us. His pillar of fire is here to cleanse your soul, to make you a new creation in Christ, to get you ready for the new earth. The old fire has passed away. The old desires are passed away. When you used to like to drink and cuss and fuss and stew and run around and immoral, that thing just died, see? But now you are used. Then you were Satan's instrument, but now you are redeemed. And that's what the world will be. The same way, redeemed, a new heaven and a new earth, just like you are a new creature. And the Greek word that there everybody knows that said you're a new creation. Amen. A new creation in the same old temple. Hallelujah. Watch what happens here now. Glorious. All right. And in closing. Now we find that this new earth, or this earth, will hold the kings of the earth. And again in Matthew 5:5, Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. It isn't going we're going to have another earth. It's just going to be the same earth. I'm just trying to get the plan of redemption to you before, and if I don't get nothing else, see, the baptism of fire on it only is to cleanse it and make it a fit place for his meek to live in. See, oh, like he did us, this creation to live in before he could come in it. He had to give us the baptism of fire. Then the Holy Ghost come in and live the baptism of fire. Then when you get that baptism of fire, then the Holy Ghost can come in. And what if it does? It burns up everything contrary to the word out of you. See, it won't believe nothing else but the word, because it is the word. See. And no, it says you used to drink, you don't drink no more. You used to smoke, you don't smoke no more. Used to cuss and fuss with people and always get in a stew and just always fuss. If you got the Holy Ghost, it don't do that no more. It cleanses you from those things. Why do you hear me preach that you've got to crucify yourselves? As Brother Brown said, what we read today, if you do not crucify your flesh and the lust thereof, you will end up crucifying your own soul. Pray that God will just come in and burn all that worldliness out of you before it's too late. Because the same holy fire that has come to cleanse the souls of men, when he leaves the earth with us in the rapture, he comes back to burn up all the flesh in this world as we know it. From what shall we do with Jesus? Brother Ram said, after the rejection of both the church and the nations, there was only one cry that come. The next move was get rid of it. That's the next cry that we have. The church has firmly turned down the Holy Spirit. We know it has. Oh, the members has come out of everything. That's a great call. Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Lutherans. But the church itself, the denomination, it cannot move. No, sir, it's already denominated. What's the thing of it is now? Crucify it. What? Crucifying afresh. What? The vindicated word to be the truth. God's word crucified afresh. Just as Eve corrupted the whole physical world by rejecting one little bit of God's word, so has the church did the same thing. From indictment, he said, and again I say, hear the churches, the teachers, crucify by blaspheming him, the word. God be merciful. Let me say that again. It might have been mixed up on the tape. Hear the churches, they, the clergy, crucify by blasphemy him, the word. And for this audience, I say this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come under this word. God will surely bring this wicked, Christ-denying, Christ-rejecting generation into judgment for blasphemy, the crucifixion of the identified word. You're coming to the judgment. I indict it. Who's on the Lord's side, said Moses? Let him come unto me. And when the pillar of fire is hanging there as an evidence, who's on the Lord's side? Let him take up the word, deny his creed, and follow Jesus Christ daily. As Jesus said to the rich young ruler, deny yourself, crucify yourself. And come follow me. And that was a hard saying, because he had a lot of riches. He had a lot of contacts. He didn't want to give up what he had in favor of eternal life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word, for the cleansing power of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to take a greater and deeper focus into our soul. And if there be any unbelief in us, O God, if there be any wickedness in us, I pray, O God, with your great holy fire, that you would burn it out of every soul that's here and that was not here today. Be with us, Father, and cleanse us by the washing of water, by the word, and by the holy fire of God. As Isaiah saw that holy presence and that holy fire, and he took that burning rock and it was placed in his mouth, and it cleansed his mouth. Cleanse our mouths, O God, and cleanse our hearts, and get us ready for the going home, because we see the earth is shaking. The earth is the plagues are in the earth. All the judgments are in the earth, and they're just multiplying daily. And we see that they're doubling unto her on a regular basis. So, Father, take us from here. Get us out of this pest house, we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Will the Lord bless thee and keep thee? May the Lord make his face shine upon thee.